Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Most important part of our Florida project. In fact, the heart of everything we'll be doing in Disney World will be our experimental prototype city of tomorrow. We call it Epcot, spelled E-P-C-O-T, Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Here it is.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 354. If you haven't guessed from the intro yet, we are talking all things Epcot today. 10 things we love about this park.
Updated version. We did this a long time ago, and we're doing an updated version because a lot has changed, and there's a lot coming to Epcot that there is to be excited about.
We did an episode, actually 10 things we love about Epcot. It was titled the exact same way. It was way back episode 17. So yes, things have definitely changed. Things will continue to change. So as we continue, I'm sure we'll update this show once again in the future. But it's super excited to talk about this experimental prototype community of tomorrow to give you the best of what we think it makes a great place to eat, see, and do for your next Walt Disney trip.
Yes, today's podcast is brought to you by us over on Patreon and Unlocking the Magic Travel.
Thank you so much for supporting the team, whether you're joining Patreon and hanging out with us there. We love talking to you. You get some extra podcast episodes. You get your own feed and hang with us. We love that. And yes, thank you for supporting Unlocking the Magic Travel. Our agents over there have been amazing and helping you all create the most magical vacations to have the most magical memories, and that's really what it's all about.
Thank you for anyone who has booked with us or inquired about booking with us. We know that a lot of people are looking to book in 2023, and we're waiting on that as well.
Yes, yes. We're hoping Disney releases those dates soon. And by the way, if you are a travel agent and you are a Disney expert, we are looking to expand our community over there. So please send us a message. You can find us at
Unlocking the Magic Travel. There's a button there that says join our team, a little bit about our agency, and then you can submit the form there and either one of us or the guy in the chair will get back to you.
Yes, guy in the chair.
And support us on Patreon. You can go to unlockingthemagic.com, Patreon, join that as well.
All right, we're starting things off with things we love about Epcot. We've got to mention, to hit it off, the park icon, the centerpiece, Spaceship Earth.
They created a new light show around Spaceship Earth, and at first I wasn't sure what I was going to think of it, but I put a...
Beacons of Magic, it's called.
Yeah, I put a reel, which is Instagram's video, on our Instagram account, and it looks unbelievable.
It's said to symbolize beacons of possibility and optimism as a light shines through the reflective panels on Spaceship Earth.
Well, I didn't get any of that, but it looked cool.
I get tingles seeing it, even if it's just from home or just on the image that or the reel that you shared on Instagram. It's that beautiful.
They need to rephrase that. Beacons of Magic. We don't know what it is, but it looks cool. That's what it should be called.
To me, it evokes that sense of wonder and possibility of Epcot in the older days. So I think it's all coming back, and I love that. I think Epcot kind of had a little hard time finding its identity for a short period, but I think it's all coming back.
We'll see. We'll see when it's done, right? Like, you'll know when everything is done and finalized. We'll have to take a walk through, stare at the ground a little bit, and see what it looks like.
Spaceship Earth, both the attraction and the interactive post-show project tomorrow, is where I really feel that I become a kid again, inventing the wonders of the future. So you're both having this awesome attraction. It's the inside the infamous geodesic dome that can be seen everywhere. It's just, you automatically can't help it, but it's like hypnotizing. You want to go in. And then inside you go back to the beginning on a journey through time that explores mankind, right, and their technological advances. And then at the end, you see the projection of Earth from the perspective of space, which is my all-time favorite. And we love it so much, we put it in the music to our podcast.
I know. We only, no matter what podcast episode we do, well, there's a couple that we didn't, but yeah. 99% of the time, the intro to this podcast is the music to Spaceship Earth, just because that's how much we love it.
The scene where your projection from Earth, you're seeing it from the perspective of space. And I love everything space. Then you go, you go backwards at that point and you descend down, which I could live without.
I like that part. It's that to me, that's the most relaxing part, especially if you're with one of your kids.
Yeah.
And you let them do the interactive kind of theater they have inside of the car.
It's forward into the future.
Yeah. If you let them just kind of plug away at that and you just relax and go backwards the whole way down, that's the best part for me. Like when you're going up, you're looking at stuff, you're interested, you're listening. But when you go back, you just kind of relax and just chill out.
I could do without the hard ride vehicle. Like it's a little hard. And for some reason, when we go backwards, I fear death. Like I get really nervous. There's no restraints. There's nothing to hold on to. And those seats are slippery.
They are slippery. As soon as you go back and it turns, you kind of feel you kind of slide all the way back. You're like, usually I'm sitting back, but then I just realize that, you know what? I wasn't really sitting back that far. Yeah. I sit all the way back into this thing.
I don't love that feeling, although it's not preventing me from going on the attraction at all. It's just that I get a little nervous when we go backwards, but I love it. And I actually have so many photos from with inside the attraction dating way back from like 1989, 1988. I was just going through my old albums and I realized I had a camera and I was just snapping pictures of every scene. So I have some old school scenes that I have tucked away.
Those were the cameras too back in the day when you didn't really know what you were taking the picture of until it was developed.
The one thing I'm thinking is I definitely used flash photography and I'm really sorry for
that. Oh, you were that person?
I mean, in my defense, I was like 9. So I don't know. I don't know if my parents even understood that you're not allowed to do that. So, but that is really fun to see and go back and look at all those photos. So I love this attraction. And then at the end, Bruce, I'm not sure if this is your favorite, but I really love the interactive part and playing and going through the Project Tomorrow. I love how you get to send an email to friends and family. You get to do so many interactive things, and I noticed that the kids really love it too.
I don't love that part. I could live without that part. I gotta just walk right outside.
Yeah,
had enough of being indoors. I'm just like, you know what? Let me get outside.
You
gotta just sit, kind of hang out. However long you want to be in here for, fine. I'm going outside. Just chill out.
I feel like you just crave fresh air after being in that dome for so long. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a longer ride, right? So you're on that thing for quite a while. And to me, once I get out, I just want to get outside. Like, true. I've had enough of being indoors. It was cool. Let me just get outside. You guys play around.
That's exactly what happens.
Totally.
Yeah.
I generally have to go to the bathroom at that point.
Yeah, it's true.
get a coffee or something.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for something else to do.
The attraction's actually supposed to get a refurbishment with a change of the storytelling, but that has been postponed, maybe indefinitely.
Great. I love it the way it is.
I do too. I mean, it is cool when they update certain attractions, but this one is such a classic that it's hard to imagine anything else. But there is plenty of room, I think, for some additional scenes. And there's a spot, I can't remember where, but there's a spot. It's just like right at the end. It seems to go on pretty dark. There's just like a dark room for a while.
Like the star scene?
Yeah, right before the star scene.
Yeah, there probably is a little bit of updating. It could be a little updated, kind of like the Carousel of Progress, the end scene where it's like the end of where we are currently, or maybe even into the future a little bit. Like there's so much more they could add to that.
Just don't take away the projection of Earth from the that's the only thing I would protest about. I love that part.
Agreed.
Okay. Next one, I'm heading to the Land Pavilion. It's house to one of my favorite attractions.
Soarin'?
Living with the Land.
Oh.
Soarin's our family favorite, right?
It is definitely one of the family favorites because all of us get excited to go on that.
Yeah. Definitely Soarin' is a family favorite for sure. I love Living with the Land. Garden Grill. And another attraction there that I love to see, it's called Awesome Planet.
We don't see that too much. I don't know why we don't see that movie as much as we go with Living with the Land or onto Soarin'.
Because I feel like I'm more of the bigger science nerd than
definitely.
You.
Definitely. Oh, you're definitely more of the science nerd in the family, for sure.
And you are the one that like has a bigger voice, though. So if it's like, if I really want to see it, but yet you're not into it at the moment, we kind of all just skip it.
True.
It's a bummer.
I guess it depends on, too, how long the line is for Soarin' or Living with the Land. Because sometimes if we have a the older fast passes for Soarin', or if Living with the Land is, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, we're like, let's just go on that.
Right.
We don't want to wait.
Well, that is, it uses in-theater effects, including wind, scent, and water, to tell the story of life on our planet and why it's vitally important to care for it. And I really love it.
Yeah, you are a dork.
I don't love the walk to the land pavilion. It's something that kills me. What is it about being in Florida, right? Maybe it's because you get really used to everything being flat. That one slightest, I don't even want to call it a hill.
It's like an incline.
One little incline. I'm like, no.
You know what it is? It's pretty spread out. So getting from Spaceship Earth, let's say, to the land pavilion is quite a hike. It's not that close.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of walkways. It's kind of a straight line. You need to go right up and take a right, right?
Yeah.
And it's right straight. But it's kind of a hike. And then by the time you get there, you're like, all right, I got to walk up this hill now. And then you got to walk all the way around to the stairs.
Yeah, it's a log. Yeah, I don't know. I just look at
just get me on there.
I just look at that little incline and I go,
You know what we have never done? I don't think we've ever eaten at Sunshine Seasons.
We have never eaten at Sunshine Seasons.
I'm looking at the menu and it looks pretty good. You know what turns me off about this, though?
What?
The amount of people that are in that area.
I have heard many people, many listeners of the podcast have emailed us saying that they love eating there. And I know the one reason why we haven't is because it's another indoor place. And you just, when you're in the parks, when you're in Walt Disney World, I noticed that you really love the outdoors. So anything that's indoors, it kind of,
yeah, because we live in New England and we're in Florida and I want to be outside as much as I possibly can.
So if that was kind of set on the side where there was some fresh air coming in or
outdoors, maybe if this was an outdoor facility,
maybe you would have been all in.
Totally. If this was like an atrium, but the top was open so you could like have sun coming in, that would be cool. Cause I'm looking at the menu right here and the menu looks really good. It's got oak grilled salmon, rotisserie chicken, chicken stir fry, shrimp stir fry. So the menu looks great and it's things that I would eat.
Yeah.
I just don't like where it's located in the environment.
You need your vitamin D.
Yes, very much so. And like, it's always, you know what it is too? It's always kind of chaotic in there.
Oh, it's always chaotic.
It's not always a stream of people going all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I could relax and eat in that environment.
That's true.
I have to get it to go and go sit outside by Figment.
I know. We've eaten almost everywhere in Epcot. And that's probably one of the only places we've never even tried.
Listen, that's probably one of the only places we haven't eaten in any park.
Yeah.
We've always tried something somewhere, except for there.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe we should switch it up.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we can take it to go.
Definitely. Maybe we'll do that. We'll take it to go order. We'll get a mobile order if they have it there, and we'll take it to go.
The various festivals throughout the year is my next one. And I don't know how you feel about this one being on the list, Bruce, because I know you're not a huge fan of crowds or of food and wine, but I really feel like this is where Epcot redeems itself during not only times of refurbishment, but this whole past few years where it had sort of an identity loss, where it wasn't the Epcot that I remembered as a kid. And I think that the festival provide a great source of energy throughout the park.
Food and Wine used to be the festival that everybody would want to go to try out the food and wine. But here's a little secret. The Arts Festival and the Flower and Garden Festival all have food and wine too. So you get kind of the best of both worlds without having to be in that crowd of food and wine. Because I don't enjoy the Food and Wine Festival. It's too busy and too chaotic for me, but I do very much enjoy the Arts Festival and Flower and Garden.
I just hope they never go away. Between the Flower and Garden, the Festival of the Arts, even during the holidays, this park becomes very special. And I think all in all, it definitely gives a great energy, a great vibe overall to a park that I can't find anywhere else.
Well, they could take away the food and wine. I'd be perfectly okay with it.
We all know. All right, let's go to the food, because we can't talk about Epcot and 10 things we love without talking about food, right?
Is this the best park of all the U.S. Yes. parks that we've been to, including Disneyland and California Adventure? Mm-hmm. Is this the best one for food?
Yes, and I don't know how we're going to get through this list.
Better than Disneyland?
Yeah, it's better than it's going to be tough to get through this without pausing for a snack, because I'm going to talk about some of our favorites on this list, and I love Disneyland. I love traveling there and I love trying all these things, but this is a place where you can literally go country to country and try the flavors of each. And it's just so fun.
What's your favorite place? If you said, all right, I'm going to eat at one place, what would it be?
I would probably like the country.
Yeah.
I probably would choose Morocco. That would be my first choice?
See, for me, it would be hard to choose between Morocco or Japan or Mexico.
They're all amazing.
I think that's a harder decision than, like, who would you take with you of your children to go on Disney? I think that's a tougher decision of where I would eat in the World Showcase if I could only eat at one place.
Facts. Very, very true.
You know, depending on the day, I could pick a kid out like that.
Right? Depending on their mood that day?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You ask me which country I'm eating at, that's going to take me a while.
Right? Let's talk about Japan and in Katsura Grill. This is where we get our sushi, our udon noodles, some miso soup. It's so good, and the atmosphere where it's located in Japan is both beautiful and peaceful. It's just a great place overall to get away from the busyness that can happen in Epcot.
What is it about Katsura Grill that makes it not busy? Do you think it's the menu that maybe it's a little bit too adventurous for people, or do you think that they don't know where it actually is? Because it is kind of tucked away when you go to the, even if you go to the Japan Pavilion, and you're walking down to go to the store in the back, it's kind of tucked away up on the hill. You got to walk up some stairs, and the seating area is not really noticeable unless you're there. Do you think if that's what it is?
I think we've just been lucky overall. I think it has been busy. There have been a few times where it's been busy, but I think the setting and the greenery and a lot of the bonsai trees, like, it gives that sense of serenity that you don't get anywhere else. And I think that's why you might find it's not very busy, but it could very well be busy.
We've often went into the store, got one of those coffee cans, those cans of coffee they serve in
those
there.
Are so good.
They're really good. And then get some snacks, and we sometimes go up in the seats and just sit there and eat our snacks. So we don't even get anything from Katsura Grill, but, you know, we do it in a respectful way when there's not a lot of people around.
Via Napoli, their authentic Neapolitan pizza with dough made from water that is sourced from a spring, similar to a region in Italy.
I have to take notice with that. It's technically not authentic Neapolitan pizza. They should stop saying that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good pizza. They should say it's authentically good pizza.
Authentically good pizza. That's just an overall great area to hang, get a familiar type of food if you're wanting to get full and something familiar, and then kind of snack your way on more of an adventurous type of food.
The pizza does look a little pricey too on the menu, but it's gigantic.
It's pretty big.
It's huge. The largest pizza they have, I think it's the Mezzo Metro, is a whole sheet pan of pizza.
Whoa.
Which I could eat alone.
Spice Road Table, which is located right next to Walt Showcase Lagoon, and is a lounge-type restaurant with decor inspired by outdoor cafes from the Moroccan seaside. This is my favorite because they have Mediterranean small plates such as fried calamari, grilled lamb kefta, and which is with tzatziki.
Wait, what is that? You said that good.
Oh, I know, because I'm trying to also blend my Greek kind of accent.
Cuisine?
Yeah, because they have something which is very similar to what we have in our Greek dishes. It's called tiropitakia, which we call tiropites, but this is cheese.
Oh, I call blah, blah, blocky.
Well, you say blah, blah, blocky. They're cheese-filled filo with cucumber, tomato, and relish. We don't put cucumber and tomato in it, which is what I love about Morocco. It's like I get the best of everything, like something familiar from what my mom would make, but it's elevated a little bit.
It's different. It's different than what your family makes.
It's good.
It's like going to your aunt's house versus your mom's. It's you guys all make similar things, but it's a different way. It's a different procedure. Maybe one ingredient here or there that's different. So even if you kind of know what you're going to get into, but you don't really know what you're getting into.
Right. Like, we often eat tzatziki all the time, but I, you know, with the cheese-filled filo, it's just cheese-filled filo. It's delicious the way my mom makes it. But having a cucumber tomato relish, it's just a little extra that we never get that type.
By the way, don't order the blah, blah, blocky because it's not on the menu.
Okay, fair.
I made that up.
Next one that we often visit, La Cantina de San Angel, which should not be confused with La Hacienda, which is the sit-down dining. We often visit the quick service restaurant in Mexico, and La Cantina is just a great place to grab a quick, fresh taco.
Pros and cons of both.
Okay.
The quick service and the indoor dining in the Mexico Pavilion. The seating is a little tough.
Yes, the quick service can be tough.
The quick service, it's like, It's like going back to the teacup analogy that we often talk about. Mm-hmm. You're racing to get your teacup. Same thing with the table.
We have often had nachos on the top of a trash can, unfortunately. But hey, it's all good. I really love the tacos barbacoa, which is corn tortillas with cilantro, rice, and beans. It's so delicious. Or the empanadas. Just a really great way to enjoy some Mexican food. And that, to me, is only a few of the many restaurants that you can enjoy when you're in Epcot. And like I said, it's going to be hard to just go on and on without stopping here because I'm getting hungry.
You know what my favorite place to kind of browse? And I'm not a shopper by any means. And I don't love browsing shops, really. Like, yeah. When you guys go into the shops, I'm not a huge fan of browsing the shops. Except for in the Plaza de los Amigos.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. If it's because it's indoors, because it feels like it says an open air marketplace. It's got pinatas. It's got funny hats, sombreros.
It does have fun hats.
It's just a cool place to hang out and kind of wander around a shop. It's probably one of the only shops.
All right, wait.
That I like to wander around at and not like I have an agenda.
We weren't talking shops. We were talking foods.
I understand, but I had to throw this in there because I don't shop a lot.
But do you feel like that might be your favorite country to visit? Like if you could only visit one. Or eat at one, like you asked me earlier, does that kind of come into consideration, like the overall, like where you shop and
it's
all that?
Definitely, because it's between this one and Japan. In Japan, for the same factor that they have that store that you can get the different candy that you can try things out, plus they have the canned coffee. So it would really be a toss-up for me between Mexico and Japan if I had to pick one country.
Gotcha. All right, next one, we are going to the Seas with Nemo and Friends and then exploring the aquarium. I think I might be alone with the kids on this. Like, I'm just looking at Bruce's face. Like, I don't know if he always agrees with what's on my list, but for me, this is one of my favorite cues in Epcot because it's an underwater adventure from the start, like right before you board your clamshell. It's just so much fun. The ride itself is just overall joyful. Like, you can't leave this attraction without humming the music of Nemo and just feeling very calm and happy. That's the feeling I get.
The other thing I like about this is we did
it. So you do like it.
I do.
Okay.
We did an introverts podcast last week. If you didn't check that one out, go check that one out. This is another ride that you get to go on. And if you're alone, you can just be alone.
Definitely.
So I do enjoy that part of it. Sometimes.
Wait, have you ever sat in a clamshell alone?
I think I have. I think I've sat in a clamshell alone. I've sat on Little Mermaid alone. I've sat on Big Thunder Mountain alone. If I can go alone and be guaranteed that I'm not going to be sat with somebody, I don't mind going alone.
I don't know why, but it just seems funny to me to see you in the clamshell.
Like, I do like the aquarium after, too. It's just I don't like hanging out there for 4 hours like you guys do.
It's a massive 5.7 million gallon saltwater aquarium. And truthfully, it's where our kids really learn to love marine biology. And it's really fun. Animals are so fun.
And it's where they learn to really stick close to us.
Yeah, that too. That definitely, they have lost us a few times, but that's okay. And I just love how they have an interactive game that you can do. There's like a scavenger hunt game that you can do. I hope that sticks around because that's always fun. And the animals themselves are just so mesmerizing to watch. And the colors and the blues, very, very serene and puts me in a good mood.
It is something about seeing the dolphins swim in person versus seeing them on a YouTube video or somewhere online. Like seeing dolphins swim is pretty amazing.
Animals just have a great personality on their own. And how do they know they're being watched? It's like they put on a show.
Oh, dolphins are pretty smart.
Yeah, they really are.
They're smarter than me. I don't know I'm being watched half the time.
The next one on our list is just a simple thing that we love about Epcot, and it's the friendship boats.
And it's, you know what it is about the friendship boat? It's the opportunity to not have to walk.
It's the welcoming break to get off your feet.
Yeah, and if you can get on there first, you get to kind of pick your seat wherever you want on the boat. That's the best part for me.
It's not always quicker to get to use the boat. Like, you obviously have to wait in line, and then you sometimes
arrive. Depending on how fast you walk.
Well, sometimes a boat has just left when you're getting in the queue, which would make the time, you know, your waiting time increase. But for me, it's just a beautiful way to, and a relaxing way to get across the World Showcase without walking and just really enjoying the surroundings.
And being in first in line is exciting.
Definitely. Like
being the first person in line at something is the best. Knowing you're next and you get to take your seat wherever you want. You often get that with these friendship boats here.
I do like sitting at the end of the boat where it's outdoors again. Bruce and I at the outdoors in Florida, we just love it, that vitamin D. But that's usually the spot that we love the most. You get that breeze, you get that beautiful view. And to me, there's just, it's an attraction and a way of transportation all in one.
The back of the boat is either the best spot or the worst spot.
Why is that?
Because if it's nice out and sunny and warm, it's the best spot. If it's cold and windy, it's the worst.
Good point. Yeah, that's true. You're
so right. Depending on the weather.
Yeah.
But that's why being first is great, right? Because no matter what the weather is, if you're first in line, you get to pick where you want to go.
My next one is another simple thing about Epcot that I love, and it's just strolling through the countries at night.
I was going to say something, but I don't want to give Disney any ideas.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm not going to.
Okay. But the World Showcase at night truthfully transforms into magical lands. My favorite country, again, is probably Morocco because of the winding streets and the architecture. It's just got this mysterious, beautiful vibe. And as you're going through the winding countries, you truly feel like I think that you would feel when you're in Morocco. I forget that I'm in a theme park. And to me, it just comes alive. Every country has its own spark at night.
Italy's pretty good, too, though, for walking in the statues and the architecture they have just to kind of sit in the area. What do they call the area? Like the plaza? Is that what they call that area where the statue is?
Every area, every country has its own uniqueness during the day, but also it transforms into something different at night.
You know which my least favorite country to walk in is?
No.
Should I tell you?
Sure.
France.
Why is that?
It's too crowded.
Oh. Yeah.
It's got the best food, probably, like snack wise. Like if I said, all right, I'm gonna eat at a bakery, they got ice cream, they got nice restaurant, but it's so crowded there.
It's very, very crowded. You really gotta want that pastry, which we usually do. So we are always there.
Oh, that's the one place I don't care about how close you are to me. Yeah. I mean, listen, I care.
Yeah.
But I'll deal with it.
You deal with it, definitely. For an eclair or whatever you're in the mood for, it's the best.
So definitely one of the best parts of the countries is kind of wandering around. They do a really good job of theming. And I mean, I can only imagine. I've never been to any of these countries in real life. I've only been there at Epcot.
I'm telling you, I feel like we've literally, like, what's that thing you posted on Instagram?
It was like my wife wanted to
travel the world.
And it was like a guy holding up a globe of Epcot. And she's like, sure, we can. It's called Epcot, which is totally true because I feel like I've been to all those countries, even though I've never been to any of those countries.
It's true.
They could totally be tricking us. Like, yeah. The country is nothing like that
right.
in real life, but I believe it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's list out the next one that we had was actually from your list, but you already talked so much about it, but I'm glad to see it. It's the Mexico Pavilion, and you really like that because of all the interactive sort of, it's funny because you're not into shopping.
I'm not a shopper. Generally, my shopping experience is I have an agenda. I go in, I get what I need to get, and I get out.
Is it the Three Caballeros?
Maybe the Three Caballeros, maybe like putting on a random sombrero.
You can be goofy. Nobody's really judging you.
Everybody's wearing sombreros in there, so they're all doing the same thing I am. So it's like not out in the public, out in the area.
You're really embracing the culture and feeling fun and happy about
Everybody inside of there is doing the exact same thing I'm doing.
It's fun. It's fun. It's again, with all the beautiful architecture and going in there, it makes you escape from anything that you could never dream of. Like, you really don't feel like you are in Central Florida.
They have a tequila bar too, if that's your thing. A lot of people say, hey, listen, that's a really great place if you're an adult and you want to go get an adult beverage. Like, that's a great place to hang out too. I've never been, but it looks cool.
The margaritas.
Yeah, those are great too.
Frozen margaritas in Mexico are probably one of the best ever. They're really delicious. It's anything frozen in Disney is really good. Usually.
You know what? It's hard. Like I said, it's so hard to pick my favorite pavilion. Because I was just thinking, as you're saying the frozen margaritas, I'm thinking of the boba tea or bubble tea that they have at the China Pavilion. And that's great.
So good.
Even the quick service in the China Pavilion is fantastic. So, like, that's another good one. That's why it's so hard to pick favorite one.
I know. I think it's really, we kind of did a disservice by saying only 10 things we love about Epcot. Did you know the D23... did an article.
I know the D23.
Well, they did an article back in 2015 about 35 things that they love about Epcot.
Well, we should do 47 things then. we gotta top them.
Yeah.
47 things we love about Epcot. We're just going to name 42 foods and 5 attractions.
Can I just read what the article says?
It depends on how long it's going to be.
No, it's just a paragraph, but I'm not going to read all the 35 things they chose. But
all right, go for it.
When Walt Disney began work.
Hold on, this Walt Disney?
By far the most important part of our Florida project. In fact, the heart of everything we'll be doing in Disney World will be our experimental prototype city of tomorrow.
He said city of tomorrow, and then he changed it to community of tomorrow, which I thought was interesting.
And then they changed it to something totally different.
He envisioned a, quote, living blueprint of the future, end quote, a city that would demonstrate all the imagination and ingenuity America had to offer the world. Walt's original vision of Epcot may not have come to fruition, like you said, Bruce, but a theme park with much of the same inspiration opened 35 years ago on, this was article was in 2015, says on October 1st, 1982, a true celebration of human achievement.
You know, we often hear that it didn't happen the way he wanted it to happen. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, it kind of did, because he built the park in Florida where nobody was. And now all of these people work there and visit there, and a lot of people have moved there because of it and grow their families and live their lives based on this park that Walt put in the middle of the swamp.
Right.
So it may not be exactly how he wanted it, but it kind of is how he wanted it. Mm-hmm. Less the monorail all around everywhere.
Yeah. Well, they D23 went on to list 35 things. They have American Adventure here. They have School Bread over in Norway Pavilion, one of my favorite, also favorite countries. I love Norway.
Least favorite country, which is it?
I don't think I have one.
America.
Oh, well, maybe because we're just so used to it, but... Then again,
the Voices of Liberty is cool.
I mean, right? So you can't really say it's tough.
Again, it's like saying my least favorite child.
Totally.
Right? Like, you know, some days I don't like it. Some days I do.
They talk about Spaceship Earth. Just so many. I mean, not, a lot of these.
Wait, so they listed how many things?
They listed 35 in no particular order.
So did they just list everything at Epcot?
I mean, no, because I'm going through this list and I'm realizing a lot of these things. And there's so much more. I mean, really? There's so much more.
How many things are there at Epcot? Because like, I feel like there's like 40 things at Epcot.
We should list all the things at Epcot.
47 things we love at Epcot and just list everything at Epcot. That would be an easy show to do. We just talk about everything.
It'd be 107. Well, if it's anything like our list, I think it'd be like 2008. Because I like things that I think the normal people might miss. Or, you know, like I said, the friendship boat. It's transportation, right? But it's also an attraction if you make it that way.
If you get in early.
that too.
Unless it's cold and you're in the back of the boat, and then it's torture.
All right, let's talk about the infamous side entrance that you love so much.
I love the side entrance. My favorite entrance of all.
This is it.
I think every park should have a side entrance.
Yeah.
They need a side entrance at every park.
This is the International Gateway, and this made it on number 22 of the D23's list of things they love about Epcot back in 2015. It says, if you find yourself going to Epcot for some World Showcase fun, don't forget about the International Gateway. This fantastic perk finds the friendship boat shuttling guests to a special Epcot entrance right at World Showcase. Super convenient.
That's my next t-shirt.
Super convenient.
I love the side entrance.
Okay, that's really awkward.
And it's going to be a picture of the... What are you talking about? It's going to be a picture of Epcot.
Okay. And can't make a list of things that we love about Epcot and not talk about the mischievous purple dragon.
Oh, you can't talk about it, but I can. AKA, or vice versa.
AKA Figment. Love Figment. A lot of people love Figment because... They just released a popcorn bucket, and not only were the lines so long to get a popcorn bucket, but they also I saw a picture of them bringing it back because it's just such in high demand that people just really, really want that bucket.
Who'd have thought Disney releases a Figment popcorn bucket and the internet would go wild?
It's a 7-hour wait. I know, it's crazy, but...
Imagine what they're going to be like when I release my I Love the Side Entrance shirt.
It's going to be insane. But this particular character is truly so... special because he is the mascot of Epcot and he is there to prove how imagination works the best when it's set free.
You know what I find funny is that people often ask, do you like the old Epcot or the old Figment or the new Figment? And I don't really remember the old Figment at all.
Well, if Figment debuted with his pal Dreamfinder,
which is the weird dude with the beard, right?
I don't know about weird, but yeah, on the original Journey into Imagination from 1983 to 1998. And I do think that was a better representation of what I think Figment was. Like, maybe it was just because I was a child and I was looking through with the child eyes, but I think that it had more of that spark. And that was really special to me because my dad would often hum the theme song. I mean, till this day, when he passed, he was humming that song. He really loved that you could, there is no limit, right? Your right. imagination puts no limits on anything. And that's truly so special.
Mine does.
Yeah, we all know that.
Mine has a rev limiter.
You're limited?
Yes.
You got to set your mind free. It says imagination works the best when it's set free. And that's what Figment is there to do. And he's just so adorable. And I love it. And again, another piece of Epcot that just puts a smile on my face, similar to the way the Seas with Finding Nemo. The Seas with Nemo and Friends, that's a similar feel I get.
So you're team old Figment.
I am, but I'm not against new Figment either. Like, it's still...
You got to make a choice, lady.
No, because I'm still going into the attraction. I still have a great time journey into imagination with Figment, but I do prefer the older. Maybe it just... It's
your... Yeah, you remember it from when you were younger. It has the reminiscent feeling.
Definitely.
Nostalgic.
The nostalgic feel.
Even though it's a weird dude with a beard with Figment.
Wrapping up.
Time to wrap it up?
I think... There are so many more things. And in fact, we didn't even get to talk about Frozen Ever After, which surprisingly, I can honestly say now has changed my heart, because originally I was super against Frozen Ever After, mainly because they took away another attraction that was near and dear to me with Maelstrom. But we visited recently, and I got to tell you, that attraction, it's the colors, the way that the boat flows. Being in Norway, it's magical.
I agree. I think it's fun if you have kids or have had kids. Maybe they've grown up, and because at one point they've listened to Frozen and you've heard the song. But if you've never heard it or never have seen the movie,
I still think you can enjoy yourself. Like the call. That's what I think. That's
maybe
what
you can.
That's what I was torn with when I first had visited, and I was kind of still kind of grumpy about the whole Maelstrom thing. Because again, I was going into some of these countries, and you don't expect there to be an attraction. So maybe that's what was so fun about Maelstrom, was like it was an unexpected
ride. Yeah, definitely when we first saw Maelstrom or found it, it was very unexpected. We thought it was going to be one of those kind of like what the Three Caballeros is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a surprise attraction inside of the pavilion, but it's not super exciting. It's fun, but it's not super exciting. Maelstrom was a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a little different when that boat goes down.
Yeah, like, for sure.
It was pretty fun.
But they kept that integrity with Frozen.
Exactly, but it's more than that. It's the fact that they were able to capture the beauty of the atmosphere. And we struggle because we're from New England, and it's currently snowing 12 inches as we're recording. And it's hard sometimes to love the snow and the tranquility and the fresh air that comes along with it. But this particular attraction, being in that country in Epcot, makes me appreciate it in a way that I never thought I could.
Yeah, even though I'm always Frozen Ever After.
You are just Frozen everywhere.
Forever.
But I think that is something that, you know, we definitely could have put into our 10 things list. But things are going to continue to change, especially since the highly anticipated attraction, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, finally opens. By the way, it's opening Memorial Day weekend, you know.
When is Memorial Day weekend?
2022 in May.
Okay, so that's a couple months from now when we're recording this podcast.
It's going to be awesome to see that part of Epcot vibrant again, I think. You know, it's been some time.
It's going to be awesome to be able to walk through Epcot when they're finally done, and like walk through Epcot, not around Epcot.
Definitely.
And be able to go right through the middle.
It's the first ever reverse launch on a Disney coaster and one of the longest enclosed coasters in the world.
Very excited about this one.
Okay, there's so much more to come to Epcot. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to do. And so back to Bruce's question, I think we could make this a list of 4,000 things we love about Epcot easily, but I don't know if he's got the bandwidth for that. We'll have to save it for a future episode.
Definitely not. Definitely. I think 10 is my limit.
Okay.
I'm 10. About done at 10.
Okay.
I know there's 47 things that people love about Epcot, but 10's my limit.
Yeah.
That's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, if you want to join Unlocking the Magic Travel, go check it out, unlockingthemagictravel.com. If you want to join us inside of Patreon, you can do that as well. And check out my new shirts coming soon. I love the side entrance.
Great.
Epcot.
We'll be standing by for that.
Stand by for that.
Great. Bye, everybody.
See ya. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.